come out quite as perfect as you wanted it to, or quite as perfect as you had it in your mind. But we all know what anxious is. What it is to be anxious. Anxiety, it actually comes from a root word that means to choke. You get that feeling in the back of your throat. Guys, I don't know. You probably know what this is, especially teenage guys. Some of you older ones, it's been a little bit further removed, but that time when you have to get up the courage to talk to that girl, that pretty girl across the room that you've been eyeing, you know, for the last couple of weeks in school. She's really pretty. She smells good. And aside from that, you just don't really know where to begin. You know, you sit in your chair and your stomach starts to turn in knots. Sometimes it even gets a little bit hard to breathe if she's really pretty. But this anxious feeling, you know, when you finally get up the courage and you walk over there and you probably stutter over your words, would me go out with you kind of stuff? You know, you get it backwards. We get anxious, we can't breathe. Part of being anxious, part of anxiety, is that we have the inability to be present in the situation where we are. You know, whatever is going on, you know, your mind is somewhere else. You know, you want to talk to her, you want to say all the right words, and it's all the wrong words coming out because you're so worried about, you know, she's not going to like me, she's not going to talk to me again. And even if you get on that first date, it's like, man, this was terrible. She's not going to want to go out with me ever again. We tend to get lost in our own heads. We get consumed with our own thoughts, and sometimes we just completely miss out on what's really going on there in front of us. There we go. But when it comes to youth ministry, I think anxiety is something that grips most of us, if not all of us, in some point. Teens, especially, for those of you who are adults, I'm going to be talking to you for just a little bit. Teens make adults anxious. It's just the way it is. And honestly, this may be the reason that most youth ministries exist, is because teens make adults anxious. Let's be really honest for a minute. Those of you who are adults in the room right now, when you see a group of young people, as you're walking out the doors, you see a group of young people over to the side and they're laughing, and you're not real sure what they're laughing at. They might be laughing at you, but you don't know. And so we get a little bit suspicious sometimes. Especially if our kids, you know, if they do their hair a little bit different, if it's in spikes or if it's got color. If their clothes are a little bit different, you know, if they ride skateboards. Skateboards are a big thing for adults. They don't really like them. I don't know why. But skateboards, we tend to look at those young people just a little bit differently because we don't know what's going on inside their minds. And I'm going to be honest, I don't either. You know, teens are fidgety. They can't sit still. It seems like they're always looking for something. If it's for a friend, for a meal, for a ride, for something to do. And they ask questions, sometimes with brutal honesty. And that throws us off. Sometimes it makes us blush a little bit. We're like, what? You can't ask a question about that. They're unpredictable. You know, their moods change and swing so fast. They go from childlike dependency where, you know, they have their days where they want to be with mom and dad and they love being with mom and dad. And then just like that, they turn around and they're so mad at mom and dad because mom and dad won't let them go somewhere. You know, they want to be with mom and dad, and at the same time, they want their freedom, they want their independence. And it's a delicate balance that goes on in these things. Now, one of the most disturbing things, I think, for adults is a feeling of very little control over young people. You know, as adults, we like to think that we've got it all under our feet, that we can control it, we can put our hands on it, and we can manipulate it in the ways that we want to. And when it comes to young people, it just doesn't work that way. And that makes us feel very uncomfortable. You know, we want teens to be able to conform to adult standards. We want them to be like little miniature adults. And sometimes we treat them that way. And it's just not the way it is. We want them to act responsibly. We want them to sit down. We want them to listen. We want them to have it all figured out. And it makes us nervous sometimes when they don't. When they don't have their plan, you know, by the time they get to the sophomore in high school, they've got to know where they're going to college. They've got to know what they're going to major in, what they're going to do for the rest of their lives. And if they don't have that, as adults, it makes us nervous because we feel some irresponsibility going on in there. And it's like, guys, you got to figure it out. You got to know it. And we feel like something, in fact, anything, needs to be done with those crazy kids, don't we? And if we're being honest and true with ourselves, these are some of the thoughts that go through our mind. Teens. Adults make teens very anxious. You know, when asked to define adults, one kid responded this way in one sentence. He said, "Adults have no friends, adults have no passions, and adults are stressed out." I think that's fair to say. And I think that this may be this is definitely one of the things that makes teens so anxious. And it may be one of the scariest visions of adulthood that kids have. And I think that they're trying to avoid that. You know, we get so mad at teens sometimes and young people because they just don't want to go. They don't want to do it right now. You know, when you ask them to take out their trash, you're like, "Oh, I'll do it later." You feed the dog, "Oh, I'll do it later. Don't worry about it." And I think that this is kind of where some of that comes into play. Young people are all about energy. You guys can go and go and go, and I don't know how y'all manage to stay up so late sometimes. You're all about energy and all about building relationships, and relationships are so important to these young people, and the people that they surround themselves with, the friends that they have, are the most important people in their lives. While adults are all about the status quo when it comes to things, all about doing things, you know, you have to do it this way because that's what we've always done. You know, we want you to sit in the pew. We want you to listen. We want you to behave, be still, stop talking. You know, all those kinds of things that we hear adults say all the time. We hear ourselves. I hear myself saying it sometimes as well. But I wanted to give you guys just a little bit of insight into this, maybe some of the top five fears of church that some of our kids have. That the church wants youth to be passive. That their only job in church is to sit here, to be quiet, and just be. That we don't want them to take an active role in things, that we don't want them to be active, that we don't want them to be Jesus for other people. Fear number two, that youth programs will be all about meeting the needs of adults. I've talked to them some about this, you know, with our egos and the way that we are, and all these fears that adults have, all this anxiety that adults have towards teens. And we translate that and we try to cram it all into our youth program because as adults, we want to fix these kids. We want to make them, you know, the way that they should be. We want to make them like us. And that's a hard thing to do. Number three, that the real purpose of youth ministry is to make youth nice. You know, to change the hair, to change the clothes, to change the things that they do. We kind of talked about that a little bit, you know, to make carbon copies of ourselves, when in fact that's such a difficult thing to do. Number four, that youth ministry will be just another form of babysitting, that it's a place for parents, you know, to come up here at 6:40 on a Tuesday night, drop your kids off, come back and get them about 9:15. Just a place to get the kids out of your hair for a few hours every other Tuesday night. Number five, the youth ministry will be just another activity in which they have no voice. I know that it might be hard for some of us to believe, but young people have hungry, hungry souls. These guys down here are some of the most deeply spiritual people that I know, and they want to know more, and they always questioning, asking questions. And this is a need. It needs to be heard, and it needs to be fed. And that's kind of some of the things, some of the directions where they're coming from. In fact, if you didn't know it, anxiety with adults and teens is not necessarily a new thing. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 48, Jesus comes, Jesus has kind of snuck off from his parents and he's in the synagogue and he's debating with some of the Jewish leaders. His parents had got on the caravan and they were on their way back to Nazareth and they realized, "Oh my goodness, we left our son." And they search and search and search for a few days, and they finally find him in the synagogue, asking questions, sitting at the feet of all these Jewish leaders and asking them questions. And in verse 48 of Luke chapter 2, his mom comes in, says his parents were astonished when they saw him, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been terribly worried trying to find you." Even Jesus had the ability to drive adults mad with worry. You know, each party is faced with anxiety, and each have needs to be met. And this is something that can actually be a really painless process, and we're going to take a look at that next. But first, we're going to sing a song. All right, next slide looks a little bit like this. Looks good. Go ahead and give me one click on that one. A community. The church is often described, especially by us and in the Bible, as a community of believers. It's also described as a family. You know, that need to be together, to rely on each other, to have things in common, to share experiences with each other. And I believe that to be true for the most part. Sometimes I think that we do get a little bit dysfunctional in our families, whether we realize it or not. How many of us actually rely on outsiders? And by outsiders, I mean people who aren't members of your family and who aren't necessarily friends to fill us in on how our family's day went. You know, when you're sitting around the dinner table, you pick up your phone and you call the newspaper guy to find out how your kid's day at school went. Or you sit down at the table and you pick up your phone and you call your wife's boss to see how she performed at work that day. That's not really how it works. So my question is this: why on earth do we rely on media outlets to tell us what's going on with our kids? You know, why is it that when we sit down in front of the TV and we see the latest story, the latest thing that some teen in the United States has done, and we fall into this stereotyping mode where all teens are at risk, even, you know, all around the world. We're stuck in this thing. It's called structural disconnect. I mean, it begins early in childhood, and it goes like this. Mom and dad work. So they have their child. They send their child to daycare. Their child is at daycare all day without mom and dad. And come home. Mom and dad are tired. Mom and dad are cranky. They have dinner and maybe send the child to bed. As they grow older, they go to school. They're at school all day, on their computers all day. They come home. They're on the computer there all day watching TV all afternoon. Mom and dad come home. Tired, they're cranky, they go into the bedroom, turn on their own TV, and just kind of shut themselves off. Structural disconnect. And we find ourselves relying more and more on the media to learn about kids, and we fall into this trap of stereotyping, where every bad teen, everything that's going wrong, you know, all the latest studies that tell us how teens are so dysfunctional and this and that and that, and it's all because they don't fit into a nice little box. Because there's so many things going on in their lives. You know, they're in a completely different world at this stage in their lives than their mom and dad's. Because they are plugged into the TV and they are plugged into the internet so much that there is a disconnect that parents and teens, and even older than parents, you know, you get to grandparents and some of the older members of church. There is just a disconnect there where we can't, that is hard to bridge sometimes. And more than anything, though, our young people are looking for a place where they can belong, where they can feel comfortable, where they can ask questions. You know, when you guys were teens, you know, it was, you know, play baseball with everybody in the neighborhood, play football with everybody in the neighborhood, you know, go to the roller skating rink type stuff. And these kids, you know, much more than doing things, they just want to be able to hang out. And I think that we need to try, in the very truest sense of the word, to be a family. To be a family that eats together, that plays together. I know that it's very, very easy to separate what goes on in youth ministry from the rest of the things that we do as a church. Because, you know, they're the church of tomorrow. And I've talked about this before, how I wish that that's a phrase that we would take out of our vocabulary. Because they are the church. You know? Just as much as you and I are, they are the church, and they have the ability and the desire to impact this congregation here at Sunset. They want to be a part and they want to do things. It was no accident that Timothy turned out the way he did. He had a mom, he had a grandma, who were all involved in his life. And I think that goes, you know, so much further beyond, you know, coming home and saying, "Hey son, how you doing? Did you have a good day at school?" And, you know, for that to be the end of the conversation. You know, as a family, we're together. We eat together, we play together, we laugh together, we cry together. And I fully believe that they did more than just teach Timothy the Scripture. I think they took an interest in his life. And that's one of the things that I really want us, as we consider ourselves to be a family, as we consider ourselves to be a community, more than just looking down front and seeing all those crazy, wiggly, squirrely kids. You know, something needs to be done with him. Somebody's got to do something with him. You know, take an interest in their lives. Get involved in the things that they have going on. Because some of them are doing some really cool stuff right now. We're going to talk about it a little bit more, but I think we're going to do another song. All this fancy new stuff that I don't know how to use yet. The youth group. We've been talking about this. And I just want you guys to know that the reason I'm up here talking about this tonight is to kind of ease some of these tensions of the anxiety, to kind of let you in a little bit of a window into their world. I'm not by any means a complete window into the teens' world. It's been a while myself since I've been there, and I don't know everything that's going on. But these kids truly are amazing. They blow me away every time I'm with them, and just the stuff that they have going on in their lives right now is awesome. And the things that they have to deal with, I can't even imagine what they have to go through. But to kind of explain what you're seeing here on the slides, probably a month and a half ago at least, I posted a note on Facebook. It's this thing on the internet. It's kind of a social network thing where you can be friends, and I'm friends with most of the kids. Some of you guys are on there, and some of you guys don't have a clue what Facebook is, but that's okay. It's a good way to kind of plug into these kids' lives and see what's going on. But I posted a note on there, and you can go through and you can tag all your friends in there. And I tagged as many of the kids as I could think of off the top of my head while I was sitting there. And I just asked them, "What does the youth group mean to you?" And what you're seeing now are some of their explanations. The youth group should be like a family. To me, the youth group is like a family. It should be accepting, where everyone feels comfortable and safe. It should provide opportunities for spiritual and personal growth. I love the youth group so much. I feel that everyone in it helps lift me up so much. I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have you guys. I love the fact that we grow closer to each other with every event. The relationship I have with the youth group can't be put into words. The kind of friendship that I have with them is a relationship I wish that I could have with others. Sometimes I think, if only people knew, if only they could experience and get in on what we are doing. And this youth group is the place that I learned to trust other people besides my family for the first time. There's a lot of stuff going on in those words right there, guys. And if you're not hearing it, it's a cry for help, to me anyways. It's a cry for help, and it's also just an explanation of what they see when they look at youth group, when they look at church. It's a family. It's a place where I can grow closer to others. It's a place where I feel comfortable, you know, being myself with others for the very first time. If only other people could get plugged into this. That's great stuff. In the youth group here at Sunset, we're working to have an identity, to change an identity. What we do, we're calling ourselves, since school began, we've been calling ourselves the Sunset Crew. And crew stands for four things, and that's this. Cross-thinking is the C. The R stands for running the race. E stands for extending hope. And the W stands for working together. The idea behind crew is to fulfill four basic needs that I think that we all have. And number one is to think biblically, to learn what it is to think with the Bible in your mind, to fellowship with each other, reaching out to others, but also serving others. These are the four basic needs that we're trying to accomplish in everything that we do, and we have activities that are geared, you know, towards meeting these four areas. But the Sunset Crew is a family. We laugh together, we cry together, and I want to invite you guys to experience this, because it is a truly, truly awesome thing. And if you get involved with this youth group, I promise you it will change your life. I don't care how old you are. Right now in the group, we're trying to start a big brother, big sister type program where some of the older kids are kind of looking out for some of the younger kids, and especially to help bring them into the group, because for a seventh grader coming into something like this is very intimidating, I think, to sit in a room full of people, full of high schoolers especially, because high schoolers are like, they're almost like gods, really, no. But sometimes it's a very hard transition to make. But Big Brothers and Big Sisters is a great thing, and I'm really excited to see where that takes us. But what I want to invite us to do with this is something a little bit different. I want to get the whole church involved in this, to truly make it a family, to truly make it a community-type experience. It has to expand a little bit beyond our youth group. Here's what I'm asking, if we could have our next slide. It looks like this. I know that some of you don't know the kids very well. You don't know who they are, and that's okay. Down here in front of each communion table, Susanna worked all afternoon on these. We have little cards. It has a picture of the teens on them. Kind of tells where they go to school and just a little bit about them. But I would like for you guys to adopt a teen. Whether it be a family, whether it be an individual, I don't. You can do that however you want. It's up to you. But pick a teen. Most of them are up here. I'm still missing a couple. That's just because I don't have pictures of some that have just come into the group. But we'll take care of that as we come to it. But if you would please adopt one of these kids. And I need to emphasize that it's not so much, you know, to sit down and have a Bible study with them. It's not so much to sit down and teach them, you know, how it is to be a proper Christian. It's a time to be with them, to get to know them on a personal level that you might not get to do in church as you're sitting there staring at the back of their heads. You know, write them a note, write them an email. If you were on Facebook, send them a message right on their wall. You know, on a Sunday afternoon, take them out to lunch. A lot of these kids are in band. A lot of them are involved in sports. They like nothing better. At least I think they like nothing better. I like to think this anyway. That they want you to come to their events. That they want you to see them perform. They want you to see them do well. To kind of fulfill this community, this family thing is just being there for one another, being involved in each other's lives. And I think, I hope, and I pray that this is a program, we're going to call it Crew Connect, where we can connect some older members of this church into our youth group, because guys, as much as you like don't want to admit it, you can learn a lot from these people. You guys are already here. But I think that a relationship with an older member of this church can just take it up here. So this is what I'm asking of you guys. This is kind of youth ministry in a nutshell. The need for youth ministry, the need for a community of believers, a real community of believers. You know, not just to stand up here and say, you know, yeah, I go to church, I've got a church family. Blah, blah, blah. Actually be that family. Be that community of believers that loves each other, that picks each other up, because some of these guys are going through stuff that you wouldn't imagine right now. And they need you. We need each other. As a church, if we want to continue to grow, if we want to continue to influence the community of Springfield, we've got to get together on this. You know, there's lots of other things that you can get involved in besides this, but this is just one easy way that we can do this. So I'm going to invite you guys, after we've said the prayer tonight, come down front, pick up one of these cards. If that teen happens to be here tonight, you can meet him tonight if you want. And if they're not here, I know there's going to be many other opportunities for you to meet them and to start getting involved. Please, please, please don't take this lightly. Because the future of this church does depend upon it. The future of this church does depend upon how we're able to pull together as a church family. So, in closing tonight, I know that I haven't really dealt with in-your-face spiritual stuff. But if there is any spiritual need tonight that you have, I'd ask that you please come as we stand and sing.